Patriots, buckle up. Seatbelts, mandatory. Please refrain from getting up during flight. If you've got a cat, restrain it. And if you're a liberal, you're gonna be triggered. Welcome to the war. And welcome to the Spiff Report. All right, Patriots, what's going on? It is a Tuesday, March 2nd, and we're here. Isn't that exciting? And guess what? Our government isn't. It checked out a while ago. Checked out with a guy by the name of Sniffer Joe Biden, who is a diddler. That's right. A diddler is running the country. That's right. Yep. You know, there's an article. I'm going to talk about it tonight. You know, there's an article talking about he slept with his son, Hunter, until he was about age 15. That's a little creepy. Just saying. Just a little creepy. Ugh. Ugh. Man. Ugh. Just a second. I almost have to, like, rinse my mouth out and, like, take a shower when I say that. Ugh. I'll tell you. All right, Patriots, let's double down. Let's get into the news. Only place you can get the real Patriot news. Let's see what's happening. Ready? Here we go. Think of the worst thing you can imagine the D.C. swamp doing to the National Guard stationed them there to protect them, and I bet you won't come close to what's really happening. This is ultimate dirtbaggery, and this almost requires a stampede on that place by about a million Patriots. Getting sick and tired of these dirtbags up there. Listen to this. More than a dozen Michigan National Guard troops in foreign land, D.C. That's right, that corporate entity that's no longer, it is not part of the United States, but it's owned by the Vatican, have gotten sick. More than a dozen National Guardsmen have gotten sick and some hospitalized after being served raw, uncooked meat and meals laced with metal shavings. If I found the person doing this, they wouldn't like me. And they would hope that I don't have pigs in the pen. The troops received their other meals courtesy of contractors selected by D.C. are leaving the troops malnourished. The problem with the undercooked food has been going on for weeks, but apparently yesterday's meals were so bad they prompted a staff sergeant to contact the Detroit news station, according to the report Brian Abel Monday reporting. According to the report by Brian Abel Monday evening. Prisoners, by the way, receive better treatment than this. So do people in Gitmo, even though sometimes they get a tube flush down their throat and liquid poured down their stomach because they want to go on a starvation diet. That's too bad. But anyway, that troops aren't getting tubes shoved down their throat yet. Instead of trying to use January 6th Capitol events, now the Dems are using it as an excuse that the National Guard are there for the SOTU, which hasn't been planned. Which President Trump delivered on Sunday, by the way. If you didn't know, that was the SOTU. I don't know what Sleeper Joe's doing. Matter of fact, he's not supposed to show up anytime soon either because I don't think he's alive anymore. I think he's dead. In his report, Abel played a recording of a whistleblower describing meals. Photos sent by the whistleblower included 74 with raw meat in one delivery and lunches served on Sunday with metal shavings, and other meals are described as a dinner roll on and Sunday. Dinner. Oh my goodness. They tried to write the temperature of the food that was cooked at. They tried to write the temperature that the food was cooked at in the box on the side of the box, but how the problem is that on the time it took to deliver the food, it showed that the food was still undercooked with germs and probably still in the oven according to the time, which doesn't really work because you can't deliver food and still have it in the oven. Gee, many crickets. Thanks, Gretchen, for not only trying, that's our Michigan Nazi, if you didn't know who we're talking about. Thanks, Gretchen, for not only trying to kill our troops and our people in Michigan, but trying to kill our troops as well. The issue was first reported over 2 weeks ago by the so-called governor from Hades. Yep, that's right, her. While other Dems are shifting blame, like they always do so well, as usual, onto someone else. It's not me. It's not me. Point the finger somewhere else. Debbie Dingell, as in Dingleberry, a Dearborn Democrat as in retard, said this: ultimately, it's the National Guard that hired the contractor, not those of us on the Hill. In other words, we don't care if our troops die or get sick. Just shit on them, because that's what we do as Democrats. We don't like anybody that's in military uniform, because we want to have everybody in FEMA camps. Biden cancels Dr. Seuss. Yes, you heard it right here. Biden canceled Dr. Seuss. Seuss subsequently bends the knee and cancels 6 titles. Last Sunday, Dr. Seuss would have turned 117 years old. What better way to honor him than to give him a big government kick in the butt backed by a cancel party? On February 28th, 2 days before author Theodore Gazelle's birthday, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, National Board Certified Teacher and Destroyer of Children's Dreams, Caris Granger Mbugua. That is not, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Caris Granger Mbugua is not an English name. I don't know if you picked that up. Just a subtle little clue. But apparently he's got influence over our kids, probably from like Somali or something. Published Why Schools Should Rethink Dr. Seuss in the Atlanta Journal Constitution. In the piece, she purports to point out the racist and damaging history of Dr. Seuss and his work. I guarantee you this is a lady who hands out toothbrushes during Halloween, and probably LSD in the candy, too. She's sadly not alone. On the same day, London County, Virginia schools took steps to cancel Dr. Seuss and their annual Read Across America event on Dr. Seuss's birthday due to the strong racial undertones. Although the schools later insisted that his works have not been completely banned, a spokesman admitted the schools will try to not connect the day with Dr. Seuss' books because I'm sure it will be too traumatic for them. This ignores the fact that Theodore Gazelle, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, was a liberal Democrat in life and supported many left-leaning policies, including LGBT stuff, and causes, including his books, which should deem him anything but racist. But apparently, a rainbow flag doesn't save you either. They don't seem to understand that if they wear a rainbow flag, they're going to be the first ones on the bus to FEMA. That's going to be kind of interesting, isn't it? Help me. Yeah, well, sorry. Those guillotines were there for a reason. Nevertheless, the children's author has faced years of scrutiny and articles claiming that he's actually been a racist the entire time. It looks like this time, nobody's coming to Seuss's legacy, as his publishing company announced today that 6 of its titles would be removed for racist undertones. The books you have a tough time finding are If I Ran the Zoo. Boy, these are horrible titles. Buckle up, Patriots. You're going to be traumatized when I get through with these. If I Ran the Zoo. And To Think I Saw It in a Mulberry Street. McElligot's Pool. On Beyond Zebra. The Cat's Quizzer. Scrambled Egg Super. I think I just ordered that at a diner last weekend, too, by the way. I guess I'm a racist. The Spiff Force started snooping on Amazon for Dr. Seuss books. So far, 2 books are already out of print. Looks like most of the hardcover prices are still low, but paperbacks are going for about $1,000 a piece. Man, somebody's making bank. Better act quickly if you want a copy of your cancel culture treasure, or if you've got a closet full of Dr. Seuss, get them up on eBay. Here's the time to make some money. This is a good time. Romney's tumble over his grandkids. Yeah, like Joe fell off something, whatever. First, it was Sleepy Sniffer Joe tripping over his dog, and now Romney falling over his grandchildren, getting a shiner and stitches. Isn't that funny? Senator Mitt Romney said Monday that he was knocked unconscious in a fall over the weekend, but he was doing better. Oh, we're so proud of him. Must have gone to the temple. The Antarctic temple. I didn't say that. He just kind of heard that. The Utah Republican said the accident happened when he was spending time with his grandchildren in Boston. He told reporters he was taken to a hospital and got stitches on his right eyebrow and lip. If you look at his injuries, they do not look like a wound you get from a mere fall. There's more to this story, like maybe a latest induction into the Black Eye Club. If you know what this is, hang on, Patriots. Not sure about this. This is kind of a weird one. Not sure if it's a Black Eye Club or not, but we're looking at it. For those who aren't aware of the Black Eye Club, let's try to explain it without taking up too much time. It includes politicians, celebrities, business elites, and heads of state that have suddenly and mysteriously wound up with black eyes and have two main categories of people, those in high politics and those in Hollywood. One theory is a secret society ritual which involves striking the participant in the head, and another theory is in a form of punishment used as some sort of check and balance within the secret societies. And there's another theory called Vril, which they stick some eye worm into your brain and it takes over your cerebral cortex. But that's just conspiracy theory. It's always funny how they act afterwards, though. It is never the same. Some have said it has to do with Illuminati and occult rituals. Yep, that would be Vril. We find it interesting that Hollywood uses these symbols more openly now. Like, yeah, horrible. And by the way, there's another Black Eye Club we'll talk about tonight, which will make you want to vomit. But it's not this. This ritual permits the hierarchical tiers of entertainment, industry, and obviously defies success. Or defines success. Might defy success, too. Just observing some of the entertainment and politicians lately, this could be how their popularity has risen so fast. It's because they plug into the matrix. We could go on and on, but we don't have much time, and that's enough for the lesson today. Check into the Black Eye Club. You'll be impressed, but don't join it. You won't be happy. Selling your soul. There is no soul left when these people sign that contract. March 3rd, worldwide demonstration. Dan Scavino said over the weekend that it's time for patriots to start their boat parades here in Florida once again and everywhere, car rallies and demonstrations, rallies around capitals, logging truck rallies, motor truck delivery rallies, boycotts, you name it, let's get her going. It's becoming more and more evident that the push for public rallies will become ubiquitous as we stand up to tyranny and Sleepy Joe and pedophiles, because they're everywhere. One such event caught our eye, a Telegram account called Worldwide Demonstration 2021-0320 was formed on February 17th. We love that number. The account serves as the communication tool for the freedom rallies being organized worldwide. Global protest rallies in each country are being planned for one day, March 20th, 2021. So buckle up, patriots. It gives us 18 days. So far, 39 countries have signed on for the rally. Nearly all countries have anti-government demonstrations in this past year. As of today, nearly 16,000 people have subscribed to the rally's Telegram, up 4,000 since last night. We need to see this like in a million. This is certainly an event to keep your eye on moving forward. And that's the regular eye, not the Black Eye Club. Hidden Biden. No plans for a press conference while in office. Well, why not? I'm just going to go stay in my basement. That's a good idea. Yeah. Circle back Jenny, our favorite, is still continuing the stance that Sniffer Joe has zero plans to hold a press conference or any conference while he is a resident in the foreign land of D.C. Well, actually, it's Castle Rock Studios, but that's okay. If you want to believe that, that's all right. It's up to you. We're starting to think she actually believes what she says. She said that we will schedule it when they can and will let the press know since they are pivotal participants. That's where he's phrased that. Since they are strategic propagandists in it. Apparently, Sleepy Joe is letting Harris and Psaki handled things. Well, that's no surprise. Sleepy Joe's dead. One article states that during the recent town hall on CNN, with pre-screened questions, Biden said, "Everybody knows I like kids better than people." Yes, Joe, we know that. Especially your son Hunter at age 15 in your bed, which was published in the Popular Mechanics. That's not even me making it up. It's for real. Holy cow. "I like to sniff little girls," Joe says. We know that too. Probably wife swap, too. Oh, God, I just got sick again. Holy cow. This guy is like, it's gross. So if Sleepy Joe is really running the country, you would think he'd have at least one press conference or many, unless the dementia has gotten so bad he's forgotten who he is many times and knows he will get blasted from us. Or maybe he's just dead. But then again, we know who is really pulling the strings and running the country, exposing the dirtbaggery for what it is, because we know President Donald J. Trump and God are at the helm. You're doggone right. And where's Sleepy Joe? He's dead. Where's Hunter? He's dead. At least we think so. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him in person. And then if I see him, I want to be able to grab hold of their cheek really hard and yank on that mask and see what happens. If he screams and it's Like it rips skin and there's blood? Okay, maybe. Maybe he's a clone then. I don't know. But there's a good way of finding out. FBI does its torturing technique on Proud Boy, who has been arrested for bashing a window at the Capitol. He faces 20 years in prison because the FBI is a bunch of dirtbags. The Biden administration and Ray FBI are arrested 300 people so far for the raid on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. The liberal media is reporting that Proud Boys planned for the assault on the U.S. Capitol for months, he says. They even went so far as to say that the Capitol rioter disguised himself as an Antifa activist. Yes, that's true. The FBI is in a criminal complaint is alleging one of the men who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th disguised himself as a member of the far-left Antifa network. Yes, that's true. I'm sure he did. FBI Special Agent Tyler Friedman, based in Washington, nothing to see here, said that William Robert Norwood was posing as an Antifa activist during the tumult seen in the nation's capital during the joint session of Congress. I'll tell you what. It's the people. I just want to point out that if this was really the people's house, there would be no crime. But since it's a corporate land and where we were in a foreign land, that's why you're seeing this tyranny. The Biden administration and Ray, oh, I've already said that, domestic Dominic Pizzola, who broke open a window with a riot shield he had taken from an officer earlier that day, has been kept in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day while he awaits his trial. He faces possibly 20 years in prison for charges of conspiracy, assaulting and impeding officers, civil disorder, entering a restricted building on grounds of, or in obstructions of an official proceedings. You know what? We've seen law and order like this before, and it's when the Brits, the Redcoats, were trying to savagely brutalize the colonialists, doing things like hanging people in their village because they accused a soldier of raping their daughter, because he did. No, there's nothing to see here. The FBI is the biggest bunch of dirtbags in the nation right now. If you see an FBI agent, just fart his way. That'd be good. The FBI uses evidence that Proud Boys planned meeting at the Washington Memorial on 10 a.m. But FBI and mainstream media still refuse to report on the Antifa BLM gathering in the Washington Memorial on 11 a.m. on January 6th before the raid on the U.S. Capitol. Huh, isn't that interesting? Ray testifies that there were no fake MAGA protesters in the Capitol. I'm going to tell you. I don't even know what to say about this. This is a level of lie and stupidity and dirtbaggery that's just like right out of a B-rated film. I'm telling you. When Ray goes down, I'm buying front row seats, Patriots. I'm just letting you know. FBI deep state kingpin and possibly simply compromised Christopher Ray. Possibly. Heck, Christopher Ray, I'm going to tell you right now, the way he's acting, he's making Lindsey Graham, who was controlled, you know how I mean controlled, like bent over controlled by McCain. He's looking like somebody's got him bent over and doing the same thing. Perjured himself before the U.S. Senate today. Ray, who has been described by body language expert Bombards as a slithering, I just add POS after that, testified today in the 1-6 Senate Capitol riot hearings. Oh, that's a date, 1-6. I thought it was like 1-6 of the Senate because that's about all that's left anyway. He lovingly referred to the events as domestic terrorism. Ray has claimed that there was no evidence of fake Trump supporters present at the Capitol on January 6th. Meanwhile, a photo of John Sullivan wearing MAGA gear remains on the FBI website's most wanted list. Sullivan, an Antifa BLM organizer, has bragged online about wearing MAGA hat, breaking a window, and storming the Capitol on that fatal day. Pure garbage. Sullivan was arrested shortly after the Capitol breach by the U.S. Marshals in Utah, but was quickly released by the commies secretly running our government. That's right. That would be China and the Marxists. Uh-huh. Bill Ayers, where are you? Here's another one I'll see on the front row. By the way, Home Depot's having a great sale on jute. He is planning on publishing his first book this summer, Insurrection, Uncovering the Storming of the Capitol, United States Capitol. How do you move money, Patriots? Book deals, you know that. Oh, by the way, just one little added piece to that. The number one person pushing for the surveillance of Proud Boys and right-wing terrorist groups was none other than the catcher for John McCain. John McCain was a pitcher. Lindsey Graham was the catcher. Probably catcher about every morning on his office, too. And that's who's been pushing it, that dirtbag. So don't ever forget that one. Missouri judge not only sentences a 14-year-old girl to live with his father, with the father that abused her, but imprisons her mother for protesting. A female Missouri family court judge, let me say that again, a female Missouri family court judge, Nicole Zellweger, is refusing to listen to a 14-year-old who desires to live with her mother and not return to live with her dad in Montana. The 14-year-old claims in custody hearing that her dad is an abusive POS and has sexually molested her. Her father has a criminal record and is on probation for domestic abuse. It's nothing to see here, right? The minor and her mom, Angela Freiner, made a strong case in the family court recently. The court hearing with Judge Zellweger, who was recorded via video phone or via phone audio. The 14-year-old girl exhibited distress and begged the judge and the other adults at the hearing to take her concerns seriously and not to send her back to the man she claims is a child molester, her father. Judge Zellweger did not have ears to hear. In fact, she resorted to coercive tactics, according to In the recording, Zellweger can be heard telling the young girl that her mother's freedom was at stake if the child did not cooperate. Zellweger said she was free, she has free will, but her free will can end up putting her mom in jail. This is the crap that the left does right here. This isn't even left. This is Luciferians right here at your best. The distressed young lady responded by saying, "I don't want to live with him." The cold-hearted judge replying by saying, "When your mom is taken to jail, you'll have no other parent to live with but your dad. I understand you're not happy in the court's judgment." That would be an understatement. Keep your prayers up on this, Patriots. A standoff ensued between the child and the judge. The assertive 14-year-old continued to refuse to consent while the judge threatened to arrest her mother. The chasm ended with the child's plea stating, "I still don't understand. I told you that he was touching me and you still are going to make me go with him?" Zellweger interrupted her pleas abruptly, stating, "There's no evidence," the child said while sobbing. That's what I'm telling you. I have personal experience. You don't understand. You're not just going to force me to go with a child molester, are you?" And the judge didn't say a word. Despite the testimony, Judge Zellweger ordered the minor into the custody of her father, who previously failed a marijuana test. Obviously, the judge deems this failed drug test more damning than the criminal record and probation of domestic abuse by her father. Court records also revealed that the father took the young girl to her grandfather's house, who happens to be a sex offender, and stayed several nights. Her mom was jailed 2 days from criminal contempt by Judge Zellweger. This is not the first time the system has failed this young lady. She has reported abuse in Montana with Child Protective Services, which is a joke and a cover for child sex trafficking. And there were no ears to hear in the state either. Two states have failed this child. Well, that sounds like it's about time for some people in Montana to buck up and take care of the problem, Montanans. America's doctors and vaccine bill of rights. America's frontline doctors have been working on a vaccine bill of rights, which we all need. They want the states to reaffirm commitment to everyone's rights of conscience, assembly, and a movement. AFLDS are giving us the ammunition to learn more about the pinprick and tools to fight for our individual freedom on all fronts, including coercion. We know the pinpricks are experimental. They aren't fully approved by the FDA, only temporary emergency use authorization, which allows for the mandatory vaccination. The principles of the Bill of Rights are that no one can be mandated, coerced, or forced to take pinpricks. Doctors and nurses can't be asked to promote the pinprick. Each person has the right to decide on their own without threat of livelihood or of movement, that everyone should be given independent information, not from any government or political entity, to help them decide what's best. The elderly should be provided with someone to assist understanding their rights. That's not a Marxist. And that's going to take out about everybody in the medical industry. I'm telling you, our medical industry, They're all going to Gitmo if I get to be president. I'm telling you right now. You put me in president, I'll put every one of those damn people in a FEMA camp, and they'll never leave. And the big one, private businesses have no legal authority to require, mandate, or coerce medication, experimental, or otherwise, to anyone. The bottom line from the frontline doctors, no one has the right to force you to vaccinate without your consent. If they try, you need to find a new doctor or doctors that will listen to you. And when you see your doctor and he says you're going to take the vaccine, just slap him on the face. Georgia passes another huge election integrity bill, H.R. 531. Land Whale is panicking. Yes, Stacey Abrams, Land Whale, where are you? Georgia House of Reps continue to stand up for voters. The new election integrity bill passed along party lines and adds more restrictions to the voting process that the left seems to continue to screw up and meddle with who we want in office because the left is confused. Democrat Rep. Jasmine Clark called it textbook voter suppression. Some of us would call that Marxism because it's textbook Marxism too. Can you just give it up a little already? This is a broken record that none of us have time to hear. These politicians are just the same thing over and over and over. Oh, I'm sorry, it's voter suppression. Well, yeah, no kidding. Why don't we go back to November 3rd and start there and before? How about if we go back to Obama? And how about Bush? And how about Clinton? And how about Bush 1? I bet we're going to find a pattern. Yep, there it is. Guess what it's called? Rigged elections. The new bill requires government issued ID for absentee ballot requests, like a driver's license, the same thing you need to buy alcohol and to drive. If that isn't available, they require a utility bill to be presented. It limits the amount of drop boxes, and they need to be kept indoors and inaccessible if the building is closed. Well, that's pretty brilliant. It also shortens the absentee ballot voting period and limits early weekend voting. The bill also makes it a misdemeanor to give food or drink to any voter waiting in line within 150 feet. Of course, leave it to Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. That is really her name, Keisha Lance Bottoms. I bet she's got probably a size 50 or something, to try and do anything to stop this new integrity bill. I wouldn't be surprised if she claims that it's restricts voter access. You watch, that's coming. Dems release COVID bill, and well, they're giving black farmers reparations as racial justice for the past. I swear, this just doesn't get any crazier. I don't even know what to say anymore. This won't end, and it won't end well either. I'll tell you that right now. As the Gateway Pundit reported back in 2020 or 2010, Pigford versus Glickman was a class action lawsuit against the United States Department of Agriculture, that's the USDA, alleging racial discrimination in its allocation of farm loans and assistance between 1983 and 1997. The lawsuit ended with a settlement in which the U.S. government agreed to pay African-American farmers $50,000 each if they had attempted to get USDA to help but failed. As of 2010, almost $1 billion was paid or credited to the farmers under the settlement's consent decree. More than 92,000 black farmers signed up for the reparations from Obama USDA from the Pigford case, which extended in 2010. That turned out to be five times the number of blacks who were actually farming during the time period in question and would possibly qualify for reparations. So-called farmers, ready for this, from inner city Chicago, Bill Ayers, even signed up for the farming handout. Well, that's amazing. Holy cow. Right in the middle of the city. They're doing asphalt farming. Don't worry, it's good. According to Breitbart, the Pigford scheme remains one of the largest, most blatant frauds in American history. The story ignored, for the most part, by the mainstream media. Well, it's never going to be covered by the mainstream media. The only thing that they're... By the way, if you want to really know what's going on in Chicago, there is a site. This is its actual name. Check it out. It's called Hey Jackass. Just go read it. You'll be stunned. Conservative Representative Michael Beckman, Representative of Minnesota, Bob Goodlatte, Republican Virginia, and Steve King, well, there you go, called on the Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate the Pigford scandal back in 2010. Well, we know what Holder is. He's a dirtbag. This is despite proof uncovered by Breitbart News that the original lawsuit on behalf of a few hundred black farmers who suffered discrimination by the USDA was hijacked by lawyers and politicians as a scam to pay tens of thousands of people who claim they attempted to farm. And there's, if let me just explain this real clearly. There is nothing that we're going to discuss here in D.C. that doesn't have dirtbaggery attached to it. And when he put a lawyer attached to it, then you're just talking about commie criminality. In February, Marxist anti-American Senator Raphael Warnock and Senator Cory Booker, bald gay Booker, a.k.a. Spartacus, introduced plans to pay $5 billion to black farmers due to the coronavirus. And here we are. While it is only a small part of the staggering $1.9 trillion that will be doled out, much of the Democrat allies' GOP researchers are seeking to draw attention to the provisions which was included in the three-page memo detailing liberal goodies stuffed into the bill, which, by the way, this current administration has no money, if you haven't noticed. Great news for patriots in Texas. Governor Greg Abbott finally caught on after 8 months that no one wants their stupid face diapers. Governor Abbott announced today that he was ending the mask mandate on March 10th. All businesses can open to full capacity. Texas is the largest state to lift the face diaper mandate. Under no circumstance can someone be punished for not wearing a mask, he said. Abbott also mentioned he's finally safe to open the state since there are pinpricks. And within a few months, those who want them will be able to get them, and they'll be stupid and they'll become transhuman, but that's okay. That's their decision. Free will has consequences. And there is a medicine to treat those who get sick. Is he finally taking the page from Florida Governor DeSantis and doing it because he wants to or because he was told to? Only time will tell. Just breaking, Mississippi has followed suit and will be ending their face diaper mandate tomorrow. Now the White House wants you to pay admission to the circus. That's right. In an article from the WAPO, the Biden administration says tests are just too expensive for the White House to keep paying. Officials contend that the cost of maintaining the testing regime for nearly a year has strained its budget because it has no money. So it wants to shift the burden onto news organizations. No test, no entry. Oh, those poor liberal journalists. Max Tani of the Daily Beast, and they are just what they say they are, ball, tweeted doesn't want to make it prohibitively expensive for smaller news outlets to gain access to the White House. Mississippi Free Press reporter Ashton Pittman criticized Biden administration for what he believed was two bad decisions in the same day. He believes there was two bad decisions? Let me just put this in context. There hasn't been a good decision. Yeah, these stupid reporters. It's great. You know, I really don't think any of them have a soul, and I don't think they're human. It's great that the president doesn't call journalists fake news, that you are, or the enemy of the people, which you are. Do we know if Sleepy Joe has actually spoken to any reporters? The answer is no. So far, it's just an illusion that he's not called the press fake news because he hasn't even talked to the press, because he's dead. But between apparently deciding that to let MBS off the hook for the murder and now trying to make journalists pay $170 per visit to the White House. This isn't just madness. The report says this is madness. I call this justice. Tim Murtaugh, the former communications director for President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign, explained, put another way, a small news outlet with one White House reporter paying $170 for each virus test would pay $850 a week, $3,400 a month, and $40,800 a year. That's a lot of privilege for covering Biden, especially since he's dead. Only bigger outlets could swing it, and they won't, because Joe's either a clone, augmented human, or he's got a mask on, and he's not the right guy. All right, Patriots, that's it for today. By the way, just so I highlight this, when a White House is worried about a budget cost, I want you to put this in perspective. They're worried about a budget cost of $40,800 for a year of COVID tests, and they're talking about a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. I hope you can put one and one together, because together, that what that tells you is there's no money. This is all stall tactics. There's no money. There's no stimulus coming. There's nothing going to happen. And they're panicked. And this is glorious. This is called death by anaconda. Squeeze, baby, squeeze. Let those bones snap and let them scream. All right, Patriots. Let's do a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we come together each day to reflect on the insanity of this world that we are witnessing before us. Lord, I'm going to tell you, you are glorious in the pain that you administer to these evil dirtbags, and we are grateful. We stand here boldly, Lord, in your light, pushing hope to all those that will listen, opening hearts that all that will receive. We ask for your continued strength and breath to reach those in darkness, to allow them to walk boldly with us in your light and love, to free us from the tyranny, and to walk into this new space of unlimited potential and unlimited love for each other. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots, stay strong. We'll see you this afternoon, this evening, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, we're going to get into foundations, talk a little bit about a lot of the dirt baggery that's going on in the darker depths of the world. So buckle up. Hope to see you then. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Don't bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Above all, pray and pray a lot. Our children need prayers right now. And this sickness that's in this culture, there can be no tolerance, ever, any tolerance for damaging youth. None. Parents have a responsibility to speak up. Grandparents have a responsibility to speak up. People have a responsibility to speak up on behalf of the innocent who have no voice. That's not just my words, that's God's words. So be strong. Be what God asked us to be. Be the protectors of those who have no voice. Okay, till tonight or until the next time, God bless and out for now.